said on many occasions that Reb Chaim Volozhin, in his commentary on Avos, the Ruach Chaim, is not only very short and abridged, and there's a lot of depth in every word and every sentence, but his lofty concepts, his ideals, are perhaps in a certain sense beyond human reach. But it's very important to get a vision of what could be and what is the ideal, what we should be striving for. Two of the main topics or themes of Pirkei Avos throughout are Torah and Tefillah. And today we'd like to discuss Torah. Reb Chaim Volozhin writes, Nitna HaTorah Lo B'Matana. The word Lo, him, to him, is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Reb Chaim alludes to a Gemara in Masechta Nedarim, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, which formulates the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah as a gift. And Reb Chaim Volozhin sees in that concept a very significant principle. B'tchila, the Gemara says, originally, Hayo Moshe Lomei Torah. Moshe would use his energy and work very hard and toil to understand the Torah, but U'meshakra, he would forget his Torah. And of course, in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is an intellectual mitzvah, like any intellectual endeavor, you want to understand and then you want to retain that knowledge. Imagine learning something and forgetting it. Imagine taking a course in college and after every week's learning, you forgot what you learned the previous week and you go on to the next week and you have an empty slate. In the same kind of way, in the Nimshal Torah, is something that you have to know. You have to retain the knowledge, and Moshe was forgetting that which he learned. Ad shenitna lo b'matana, up until the point in which the Torah was granted him as a divine gift, then and only then did Moshe Rabbeinu, was it guaranteed that Moshe Rabbeinu would remember the Torah that he studied? I often think to myself, if I remembered 5% of the Torah that I studied in my lifetime, I'd be a great scholar. We don't remember our Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu sets the paradigm here that if the Torah is given to man as a matana, then and only then will he retain his knowledge and not forget the Torah that he studied. After Reb Chaim, about, shall we say, well, you know what, it's pretty much about the same period of time as Reb Chaim. I'm not sure who's first, but the Nod of Yehuda, Reb Yecheskel Landau, was one of the great Gedolim. It's almost 3 centuries ago, and he wrote many works, but two of his famous works, of course, are the Tshuvas of the Nod of Yehuda, and also his commentary on Shas, which is called the Tzion Lenefesh Chaya, the Tzlach, named after his mother, by the way, whose name was Chaya. And in his commentary on Brochos Daf Samach Dalid, he relates to a question which is quite famous. And that is, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi organized and edited the Shas, all the Masechtas that we have in Shas. He called the first Masechta by the name Brachos. And if you study carefully the beginning of that Masechta, you won't see any mention of Brachos. It's about Kriyat Shema, first two Prokim, and then going on to other Dinim about Tefillah. And it's only in about the sixth Perek that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi organizes the laws of Brachos in Parakeis and Mevarchim. Why does he call the Masechta on the name Brachos? And the Tzlach, in order to analyze this question and offer a solution to this problem, he raises another question. The Baal Halachos Gedolos, one of the greats before the period of the Rishonim, the Bahag, was quoted extensively by the Rishonim, and has certainly created a halachic compendium, a sefer that has a tremendous impact on halacha. In his introduction to the work, he copies the Birchas HaTorah word for word. And the question is, why did he do so? Now, Birchas HaTorah, before one engages in Torah study, is certainly very significant, to the point in which the Gemara says in the Nedarim on Daf Pei Aleph, Alma Avda Haaretz, what was the sin that clinched Golus, that forced the Jewish people out of the land. We gave up the land, forfeited our possession, our inheritance of the land of Israel, and we went into Golus. And the Gemara answers a very strange answer, very surprising. Al shelo birchu b'Torah tchila, that they studied, that engaged in Torah study without first blessing the reciting the brachos of Birchas HaTorah. And there are those who want to suggest that that's why the Baal Halachas Gedolus, the Bahag, when he authored his great Sefer, his magnum opus on Halacha, he wanted to first give us a warning, so to speak, that we better be careful about Birchas HaTorah, and he copied over Birchas HaTorah word for word. Because in order to learn Torah, we have to first recite the brachos. Then the Tzlach writes V'Anochi Omer, which means that I would have a, in my own humble opinion, an alternative answer to the question as to why the Bahag introduced his great work with Birchas HaTorah. And his Kavanah's intention was that the main goal of learning Torah is to remember the Torah. It's not just significant to, it's not enough to learn the Torah and study it and understand it and grasp it one time shot, but we have to remember it, lo yishkachem. And there's a separate lav about shikhas haTorah. And what the Bahag was looking for was some sort of a segula, if you will, some sort of a secret potion or a magical key that would guarantee that a person would study Torah and retain his Torah knowledge. Says the Tzlach Ledaiti, according to my understanding, Birchas HaTorah hi segula nifla shelo yishkach ma sheyilmod. There's a special segula power, some sort of metaphysical power that's inherent in reciting these brachos that clinches the ability of a man to not only learn Torah but retain the Torah knowledge that he has. And he bases himself on a Gemara in Nedarim. Before we study the Gemara Lamed Ches Amid Aleph Amid Beis, now we go back to Lamed Ches Amid Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that at what point was Moshe Rabbeinu able to retain his knowledge of Torah? That's after Torah was given as a matana. And what is this moment of giving the Torah to Moshe as a matana? What does it mean for us? The Gemara in two places, in Masechta Kiddushin, in Masechta Avodah Zarah, in the name of Rava, postulates an apparent contradiction between two verses in the Torah. One verse in the Torah indicates that it's Torah Hashem Cheftza, B'Toraso Yege Yom Avalayla. The Torah belongs to Hashem. It's Nikreis Al Shmo. And yet, elsewhere the Torah says, the pasuk indicates that it's his Torah, Toraso, he possesses the Torah. And Rashi says, what clinches this transition between Torah, Toras Hashem and Toraso? When does it become his? Al Shetarach Ba, through the Tircha, the Yigia, the work, the intellectual energy and the physical energy that he inputs into studying the Torah, that will guarantee that he has a kinyan on the Torah. He acquires ownership on the Torah. It becomes Toraso. However, the Tzlach wants to suggest maybe Rava had a different meaning, a different intention when he said that the Torah becomes his. B'Toraso Yeh. And he bases himself on the Gemara at the very beginning of Ketzad Mevarachim, a very famous Gemara, Brachos Lamed Hei. Rabbi Levi there asks, he posits a contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk says, Lashem Aretz Meloah, the entire universe belongs to God. And the other pasuk also in Tillim says, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem Va'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam, that the arts belongs not Lashem arts, but Livnei Adam Laharetz. Lo kasha kan kodem bracha kan liacha bracha. If I take an apple and I want to enjoy the benefits and eat the apple, I can only do so after a bracha. Before the bracha, it belongs to Hashem. It's Lashem arts umolo. It's Hegdish, Lashem. And if I misappropriate Hegdish, that's called Me'ila. That's Gzela Me'Hegdish. But after I recite the bracha is like a pigeon on the Hegdish. it now becomes mine. The money that I pay for the to obtain ownership on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is the bracha. The bracha itself, by acknowledging God as the creator, the giver, I am able to enjoy the benefits of this world. I make a kinyan through this damim, so to speak, this pigeon of the bracha. Says the Tzlach, we should apply the same logic to the question of Torah. Does the Torah belong to Hashem or does the Torah belong to man? And the answer is that the Torah does belong to Hashem, but that's before he recited the Birchas HaTorah. Once he recites the Birchas HaTorah, then Zocheba Lios Shalom V'nikreis Torosa. Just as in the physical world, I can acquire ownership over the world of God by reciting a bracha, so too with regard to the spiritual, intellectual world of Torah, which belongs to Hashem, I can acquire personal ownership through the medium of the Birchas HaTorah. The Birchas HaTorah serve as the pigeon through which a person is kona Torah. And if that be the case, we begin to appreciate why it is that the Bahag introduces his sefer by copying over the Birchas HaTorah mila b'mila. And we also begin to understand why Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi calls the first Masechta Masechta Brachos. What Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had in mind is that if your goal is to learn the Mishnayos, and that's Rebbe's goal to teach the Mishnayos, is that the Mishnah should be Sdura B'fi Chachamim Shelo Tishkach Mehem, that they should understand the Torah but not forget the Torah. And we have a natural fear of forgetting our knowledge, forgetting our Torah. Therefore, the name of the Masechta is Brachos. Not Brachos of Ketzah Mevarchim, of taking an apple and eating it and first reciting a Brachos, but rather Brachos of Birchas HaTorah. Because through Birchas HaTorah, we make a transition. It was Hashem's Torah, Torah So, Torah Hashem, and now it becomes Torah So, your Torah. Hashem grants you a matana of Torah. And how does that matana come about? What will engender that bracha and that transition to make it yours? It is the reciting of the brachos. And that's what's going to guarantee, as we saw by Moshe Rabbeinu, that only when the Torah was given to him as a matana, then and only then would he not forget his Torah. Really, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, in terms of the content of this Masechta, should have called it Masechta Kriyat Shema, or Masechta Tefillah. Those are Doraisas. The bracha is the Rabbanan. But yet the bracha is a necessary facilitator, an agent, to clinch our ability to remember the Torah, because that's how Torah is given to us b'matana. It becomes Torah so through the bracha. And that's why the Baal HaLachas Gedolos opens up his magnum opus with the Birchas HaTorah to teach us that if we want to study his Bahag, his Baal HaLachas Gedolos, and we want to remember the Torah that he's teaching us without forgetting it, Kedeshi is Kayim Talmud HaBiyadah B'lishichacha, if that be the case, we have to recite the Brachos, because only after the Brachos do we have a Zchiya in the Torah? Can we be Konen Torah in such a way that we won't forget it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to us b'matana? Now I'd like to study with you a presentation here of the Sfas Emes at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar that might possibly give us a further insight into Birchas HaTorah and the concept of Kinyan HaTorah, acquiring ownership over the Torah. He's addressing the issue which the Medrash at the beginning of Bamidbar addresses as to why the Torah was given in the Midbar. Torah could have been given anywhere, in Texas, in Brooklyn, anywhere. And the Medrash offers two answers. The first answer is, Ma elu b'chinam lakol, just like the Midbar, the sand in the desert is free, is open, is ownerless, anyone can come and take it. So too, kach divrei Torah not, you know, the exclusive possession of any individual or any group, but anyone could come and take it. It's hefker lakol. Dover Acher, the second answer, which the Medrash offers as to why the Torah, what's the symbolic message inherent to the fact the Torah was given in the Midbar, in the Efshav, if it's impossible for a person to be Oses Atzmo Hefker Ki Midbar, then Eino Yochel Liknos Torah V'mitzvahs. In order to, the prerequisite for acquiring ownership of a Torah is to be mafkir oses atzmo hefker. Now, what does that mean? The Sfasemis says, at the face of it, it seems like these two answers of the Medrash are mutually exclusive, because if indeed the Torah is chinam lakol like the Midbar, then why does he have to make himself hefker? He's just bizoche the Torah. The Torah is hefker. The answer is, says the Sfasemis, vadei haTorah chinam. The Torah itself, as an object, as an entity, is chinam lakol. V'kol mi sheyirtzeh yochol lilmod po. But the question of the second interpretation, not in contradiction to the first, is a different angle or a different aspect. Why, how does a person acquire ownership over the Torah? Liknos kinyan b'Torah. What that means is to have dveikus b'etzem haTorah. And for example, a zaken means misha kana chachma, he has a kinyan in Torah. That the chachma of Torah has a dira in this zaken, believer. And he says that this is the bakasha that's incorporated into Birchas HaTorah V'Arevna. What's Varevna? We think it means to have sweetness, but the word Harev in its shoresh, in its root, is Miloshon Irbu, for mixture, or Tarovis. And what it means is that the Torah itself gets mixed into the very bloodstream, the very essence, the very neshamo and nefesh of the person. That's what we're asking Hashem, that we should have a kinyan HaTorah in which the Torah is, to use the language of Chazal, nivla, divrei Torah, nivla, and bedomo. They penetrate into his, you know, it's like give him a shot into his bloodstream. You know, give the Torah, goes into his bloodstream, becomes part of himself. It's vacus. The Torah means it's not him and his knowledge as two separate entities. You know, Aristotle could understand math, but he's not a triangle. But when we understand Torah, the Torah becomes part of ourselves. And we identify with the Torah identifies with us. It's a union that cannot be split, as the Baal HaTanya says in the fifth chapter. But Hefker means he's not interested in ownership and possession, he's not going on vacations, he's not interested in all sorts of pursuits and pleasures, he's interested in the Torah. He's exclusive, he's dedicated to the Torah. Again, as I said at the outset, these are some very high ideals, but this is what it means to have a kinyan HaTorah. Kinyan HaTorah is when a person is totally dedicated, he's mafkir es atzmo. You know, nothing counts, nothing scores on his Richter scale, nothing is important. In his priority system, he's got one and only one goal, that the Torah should be part of his essence. It should be a dveikus b'Torah, kinyan b'Torah, a taroves Torah b'domo, varevna Hashem alokecha. And the Torah points out in Hilchas Birchas HaTorah, Sima Mem Zayin, that the Gemara seems to indicate that it's not necessarily so that from Talmidei Chachom will we get Talmidei Chachom, that the children of Talmidei Chachom will be Talmidei Chachomim. And the Gemara in Dorm says in the name of Ravina, Mipnei She'ein Mevorachim B'Torah Tchila. Because sometimes the Talmidei Chachom don't make the bracha before they learn. Now, what does that mean? Why would a Talmud Chacham shy? What great effort would it take to recite Birchas HaTorah before he studies Torah? But the answer apparently is, how does he recite Birchas HaTorah? And that's what the Bach on this tour is going to elaborate on, to try to understand what does it mean. We mentioned earlier, the Gemara Nedarim says that Alma of the Aretz, why do we lose our foothold in the land? And we went out into the diaspora to Golus, the exile, because Lo Birchu B'Torah Tchila. Why? What's so difficult about being Mevarech B'Torah Tchila? What's the great challenge? But again, the answer is, as we'll see in the Bach, that Birchas HaTorah takes us onto a different plane, and it indicates a different concept of Lishma. And this is a very high ideal of what Torah is all about. And the Bach says that Iko Litmoa Tuva, many have asked the question, Lama Yatza Kazos Bilfan of Lanisham Bionish Gol Varam Kazal Shalabarchu Betchila Betorah Tchila. Why the severe, harsh punishment? Because they didn't recite the brachos. Hilachora Avera Kala would seem to be a very Kala with a Kuf, a very light kind of sin. But the answer is that we have to understand what the purpose of being Osek B'Torah is. What do we set as our goal, our objective when we study Torah? And the answer is in the Lashon HaBach, and he's going to repeat this over and over again, Kidei Shenis Atzeim Nishmosenu Biatzmus Viruchnius Ukidushas Makar Motzea Torah. We want to become one, our nefesh should become one and cling to the spiritual and sanctified holiness of the giver of the Torah, the source of the Torah. The Torah was given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah Semes Yisrael is a matana, and it should never be forgotten. The Torah should become dovek, our neshama should be dovek, dveka in the neshama in the Torah, our guf should be dovek in the Torah. And as a result, in Mayu Oskin B'Torah, if the Jewish people would have been Osik B'Torah al Kavanasos for this objective, then Hema, they would become a Merkava, the Hechal, the Shechinasa Yisbarach, that the Shechina wants to come down and reside here in the lower worlds, from the higher worlds down to the lower worlds, to find a Hechal, some sort of a. Now, again, the Beis HaMikdash, of course, is the Makom Ashras HaShechina, but it's not just the Beis HaMikdash. Where is the Shechina? The Shechina is wherever a person sanctifies himself and makes himself into a Mishkan of Shechina, a Merkava for Shechina. And how does he do that? How does he bring down the Shechina from above into his very soul? That's when he intends and dedicates himself to the study of Torah for the sake of making his neshama biatzmusa into Ruchnius uKedusha to identify and integrate itself through Dveikus with the Shechina. And then the person himself becomes the Mishkan of Shechina. And that's going to bring the Dira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from upstairs, from the heavens down to the Aretz here. And that's what Eretz Yisrael is all about, to make the land, it has to be a Mokom HaShos HaShechina. And how do we do so? By making ourselves a Mishkan HaShechina. And in the language of the Bach, that's called a kesher bein pamalia shalmala le pamalia shalmata. There's the heavenly hosts, and bring down that sanctity into this world, the low worlds, mishkan echad. It should be one indivisible mishkan. But that's not what the Jewish people were doing. But avru chok zeh, they didn't dedicate themselves to this objective in Torah. Lo askim b'Torah kim l'tzorach hadvar magashmim. Now look at this. The Bach says, this is quite surprising, that the flip side of the right kavanah, the wrong kavanah, is dvar magashmim. Now he gives two examples of dvar magashmim. The second example I understand. He says lehizgos leharos chachmosam. They want to boast about their knowledge. You know, they're interested in gaiva. That for sure undermines any sort of positive kavana in the study of Torah to become Dovek Peshchina, Dovek Beatzmus, Beruchnius, Ukedushas, Makar, Nosein HaTorah, Motzei HaTorah. But the first alternative, the first explanation of what is not the right, proper kavana, he says, Kidei Leida Hadinim. In order to know the dinim. Now again, you know, for Noshim, they say the chiyuv is to know the dinim, and even men have to know the dinim. So what's so terrible about studying Torah in order to know the dinim? But although there is one level of kavana and an objective to study Torah to know the dinim, but that's only on a lower level. On a higher level, it should be velonis kavdim. What didn't they have? That higher level of lis atzim lis davek b'kedushas ruchnius haTorah, as we saw before, la'amshach hashchina lamata ba'aretz, and therefore created some sort of period between the shchina, which was nistalka shchina min aretz, also lo'lamal, and it went up on top back to the heavens via aretz, and therefore the land of Israel remained b'gashmiyus as a physical material land without kedusha, and that was goreim the churban. And he adds the Bach that this is all inherent in one single word in Birchas HaTorah. We say in Birchas HaTorah, Shabbachar Banu Mikol Amnasalonu HaTorah. It means that God chose us, He brought us, Kirvanu Lefnei Har Sinai, He gave us the Torah, the Holy Torah, as Kli Chemdaso, Mishtashea Ba Bechol Yom. And what was the purpose of giving us that Torah that Hashem loved and cherished so much? Kideshet Tistavek Nafshenu biatzmus kedusha satorich liyusa lahorid hashchina bekirbo, and that wasn't their intention. And the bracha says, Lishma. Lishma means for this experience, this level, this existential level, if you will, of Dveikus Nishmosenu Beatzmus HaTorah, to make ourselves the Mishkan Fashras Hashkim. So we see very clearly that Birchas HaTorah is very crucial here and it plays a major role. And now I'd like to go on with a few more points here of Reb Chaim Volozhin, if you turn the page to the second side. Continuing in the Mishnah at the beginning of Avos, Perek Aleph, Yossi ben Yoezer, his Mishnah is Yibeischa Beisvad Lechachomim. The Bar Tanura says, Hishtadal Shebeischa Yishamish Mokom Lesvadusam Shal Chachomim. If you host various meetings of Chachomim in your house, Alidei Kach Tilka Tiklot Divrei Torah V'Chachma, the words of Torah will somehow penetrate into you. They're by osmosis, they're contagious. You learn from the chachomim, the way they think, the way they walk, the way they act. And here's where Reb Chaim Volozhin is going to pick it up. The Bar Tanura says that if you walk after the chachomim, wherever they walk, there'll be dust that is brought up from the ground as they walk. And if you walk behind them, let yourself be covered by their dust, meaning always attach yourself to the Tabir. And the mushal here of Tzomeh, you know, there are many different situations in which a person wants to eat, but when a person is thirsty, that quest for knowledge here in this Nimshal, he says, Hakshev Tomid Ludivram, Shal Chachom Beratzon Betshuka. You have to have an intense craving for the words of the Chachom, Ki Odom Hashose Mayim Mitok Tzimon, like a person who drinks when he's thirsty. And the Ruach HaChaim of Reb Chaim Volozhin says that this concept of Misavik Miloshan, fighting or wrestling, Hinei HaLimud Nikra Molchama. He says, if you have any doubts about it, that Limud is called a battlefield. K'mosha Omer, he quotes the Gemara at the end of Sanhedrin and Chelik, Melchamta Shal Torah. The Torah is called a Melcham. Al-Kain, in Kain Gama Talmidim Lochamim Yikro. You can call the students of Torah soldiers. So this is the great battle of students and Rebbeim and the Chachamim. They're fighting over the Torah, trying to understand the Torah. And it's an exciting Melchamta Shal Torah. The Chassam Sofer points out in his drashos that there the Sar, you know, in a sense the holy angel in heaven who generates all sorts of political skirmishes and machlokas in the world between one nation and the other. That's the Saro Shel Esav. He's the Al Charbu Chatichi. He's the Mamuna Al Machlokas. And it's very difficult to imagine that we could be mevatel, that we could somehow neutralize his power, the power of this Tsar, who has Memshola over Machlokas. But what we can do, says the Chassam Sofer, is to transform that evil to good. The Lafo Chosam Latova. How? Through a different Melchama. And that's the Melchama of Pilpula Shel Torah, where the Gemara Kiddushin says that when people sit down and they argue over Torah, Nirim Ka'ovim Bashar, that appears on the outside of the spectators as if they're enemies, Chas V'Shalom. Medainim Elu Be'elu, they're criticizing one to the other. They're throwing shtenders at each other. They're raising their voices. They're yelling, you don't know, I know. But that itself is a great battlefield, a great strategic military campaign, which will create a neutralization and the bittul of the original machlokes of Saro Shel Esav and Yochel Lahavi Sholom Lom, that could bring peace into the world. This is a melchama which is l'shem shamayim. This is a melchama which will neutralize our oivim who are trying to battle us l'ra. All that will be converted yehofech l'tova. The Ein Yidei Esav Sholtos, and then the Yadayim Yidei Esav will not be in control. And therefore Chazal say, Talmidei Chachomim Marbim Sholom Ba'om. Now, within the context of this battlefield of Torah knowledge, it's true, of course, that the Talmidim are fighting amongst each other, but is there a battle between the Rebbeim, the Rebbe, and his Talmud? Says Reb Chaim Volozhin in Ruach Chaim Perek Aleph, he says, he talked to the Farish, Ki b'memches dvarm shatorah niknes b'hem, ki muvur l'kam perek vav, the Mishnah in the sixth parak of Avos in Kinyan HaTorah has a list of 48 ways that we acquire Torah. Echad mehem, one is Hamachkim Esra Bosav. He enlightens his Rebbe. The student actually causes an enlightenment of his Rebbe. His Rebbe was unaware. Al Yidei, how does he do so? Shelosav Acharifav, he has very sharp, insightful questions. Umemela Rav Chashmaitin, that's how the sugya becomes broadened, expanded, and embellished. But then he adds something that's pretty phenomenal. He says, Osolo l'talmid l'kabel divrei rabo. He says a Talmud is not allowed to accept the words of his Rebbe, k'sheyesh lo kushos aleihem, when he has questions and objections against them. Ulefonim, he says, and it's even possible, sheyeh ha'emesim ha'talmid, that the truth will be with the Talmud. That the Talmud really got it right. And he asked kashas, and he's correct. And Rav Avadia Yosef, in his sefer called Anaf Eitz Avos on Pirkei Avos, he writes in the name of the Shut Chut HaMeshulash, which is the Tshuva Sfarim that codify the Tshuvas of Rav Chaim Volozhin. He writes that even though I was Meshamesh, my Rebbe, the Kohen Gadol, meaning the Vilna Gaon, he says, nevertheless, the Vilna Gaon always taught me, based on the Gemara Bava Basra Kuf Lamed, Kad Osi Piska Dedina Didi Kamaychu Chazisa Beipircha Lo Tigmaru Mine. One of the Amoraim says that if you get a Psak Halacha from me and it doesn't make sense to you, don't accept it. He says, Ein L'dayin Al Mashayit of Roz, a person can only accept that Torah which makes sense. Ukvar his heart in Mipi Mori Akadosh Kdosh Yisrael Agra Mivilna Shel Elisa Panibora, that I don't have to give respect and honor and therefore accept someone else's opinion when I have kashes on that opinion. And Rav Avadia Yosef writes in the name of the Meshivas Nefesh HaYoshan that I know that in certain areas we accept the Gaon Mivilna as the bottom line. He's the final word. Because Mimos Kadma Lokom Kamo, for generations upon generations, no one was as great as the Vilna Gaon. Should take Kolatar Kula Nistar Menigla Kishulchan Aruch Lefonami Komakoma Hafti Tzedek Liyashev Minog Shal Yisrael Shenogu Shalokidvarov. Rav Avadia Yosef says that if there's a minog that goes against the Gaon, we have to somehow make sense out of it, and we can't just accept the Gaon blindly. In this Pirush on Avos, Rav Avadia quotes a Shutarid, who was one of the late Rishonim, Rav Yeshaya Mitarani, who writes to one of the Rav Hashoel, somebody who asked him a question, Al Moshe Kosov Mar, Shalo Achlok Al Rabbeinu Yitzchak HaZoken, that maybe I shouldn't be arguing with the Ri HaZoken who came so much early. He says, Chalil Shmo Lasosos, you can't say such a thing, that I shouldn't argue on one of the earliest, because Zos iti shekol dover sheina nira b'enai afilu I omra Yoshua binun lo tzai sino leh. Something that I don't accept, I can't understand, I have questions, I have objections, I won't accept it even if I heard it in the name of Yoshua binun. V'enai nimna mila bia daiti mashinirali lefi miut sichli. And I will not hesitate to express my knowledge as it appeals to me and appears to me, according to my capabilities. And that's what I have to do. I can't just simply blindly accept something that came from one of the greats before me. And this, I think, is what the Ruach Chaim is implying here when he writes, Oslo l'talmud l'kabel divrei rabbi k'sheish l'kusha salam. And that's why the Gaon warned him, Shelo yisa ponim ba'ora. But nevertheless, in the Sefer, a commentator Rav Goldberg called Ubacharta B'chaim on the Ruach Chaim of Rav Chaim Volozhin, he quotes a Sefer written by Rav Yosef Zundel Misalant, in which he writes that according to Rav Chaim Volozhin, there's a story that Rav Chaim tells in one of his tshuvas about a Shailin Aguna. And in the case of a woman who we weren't sure exactly whether her husband died, whether she could get remarried, and this is a very complex issue, so Reb Chaim testifies to the fact that he was warned by the Gaon
that even though he has rishus to argue against those who came before him, and he's not allowed to be no say ponim behalach, but nevertheless, the Gaon had rishus from his Rebbe to argue on anyone before him up until the rush. The rush was towards the latter part of the heavy Rishonim. V'lo'ad b'chlal, meaning he cannot argue with the rush, meaning that what the Gaon told Reb Chaim is that you can't accept the Achronim, but when it comes to a Rishon before the rush, then you have to rack your brains and figure it out. And the Gaon Reb Chaim Valoshin, as a result of this statement of his Rebbe, he would finish a tshuva, write a tshuva to be Matir and Aguna, and then he would wait a little bit and he would sleep on it. And he tells the story that one time, while he was sleeping, it appeared to him in a dream that maybe he should delay this tshuva. And on the second night, again, it appeared to him that he should delay the tshuva. And this happened three times. And he started rethinking the entire tshuva and researching what he had written. And he found that he had a kasha on what he had written from the rush. That the Rush had written something that contradicted his opinion, as a result, Bitel Daito, since the Gaon had warned him not to argue with the Rush. That's what he did, and therefore he basically removed that he never actually sent that tshuva as a final answer. Fascinating story. And again, we're emphasizing this concept of the Mishnah here in Avos of having Misavik Bafara Gleim, that a person has to learn from Talmidei Chacham. He has to find himself in the atmosphere, in the close proximity to Talmidei Chachamim, in their Chabura. And even if they're not speaking the Divrei Torah, he'll be impressed, he'll be inspired, he'll be uplifted. The Etzem HaChabura creates some sort of an atmosphere of Torah, and he allows that atmosphere to penetrate into his soul. Now, although Reb Chaim says that the Talmud is going to argue in this battle against his Rebbe, and he's not allowed to accept his Rebbe's word, Yizar b'nafsho, says Reb Chaim v'aloshim, yiludaber b'gaiva v'gdol libov kasher motzo mokum lachlok. Now a person starts arguing against his Rebbe and he builds himself up, he becomes a balgaiva, he thinks he's great because he knows better than his Rebbe, the Yidmalo, and it appears to him, ki gadol hu kirabo, he's as great as his Rebbe, or as the Mechaber, the Sefer, the one who authored the Sefer that he's writing, that he's critiquing. But rather, yeda bilvavo ki kama pa'amim lo yavin dvara v'kavanosa, that more often than not, that's not Reb Chaim says, but at least on certain occasions, the fault is with the Talmud, that he doesn't appreciate, he doesn't understand the depths of and the intention of his Rebbe or the Sefer that he's looking at. So there's a balance here between, on the one hand, believing in yourself and having the gumption to say, well, I have kashas on my Rebbe, and therefore I'm going to reject what he says, and lo yisa part of Aloch, and on the other hand, not to be a balgaiv and think, well, my Rebbe's wrong. Have you really given it that work? Maybe you're on trial. You know, the famous story about the person who is looking at a Rembrandt painting, and he says, he's not so impressed. So the guy who heard him says to him, listen, Rembrandt is not on trial. You're on trial. Can you appreciate Rembrandt? So sometimes the Talmud has... In fact, there's a tshuva in Rabbi Kiva Eger in which apparently the Shoel was adducing all sorts of proofs to argue with some of the Zkenim, the Rishonim that came before him. And Rabbi Kiva Eger, in response, he says to him, Ra'isiv, I see you as Mashalala, that you're full of praise for your own writings and your own insights. You're a zikim, the fact that you're throwing, you know, spears and arrows, Neged Divrei Rishonim, Rabboseinu Rishonim, and Regez, you know, you're arguing with that. And you know what? I don't think there's so much Nachas Ruach over here, because me, Yitain, Vahoya Magdish Itos Elu Asher Bahem Yiga with an ayin at the end, Limtso Torah lachlog, you know, instead of spending all these hours to find an excuse and a complaint to argue with those who came before you, you should rather dedicate that time and energy to try to understand, rack your brains to try to figure out the depths of what they have to say and the breadth of what they have to say. Tsarli me'od, tsarli b'chol dvarav. I've researched and read carefully everything that you wrote to me, v'lo matzasi gam echad, amongst your writings, amongst your ideas, I didn't find one of them, she'eroi l'hashiv alav, that's worthy of my responding and arguing with what you're saying. Elo dvarai, he says, except by words, as a mochiach, as if I'm giving you musar, l'chacham, mi'ava misuteris, out of a love, a hidden love, even though my language has been very harsh, because yicham levavo bi eshbo eres al tito ledivre rabosena kadmonim katev soreres. In beautiful poetry, the Rabbi Kivega writes that we should really be giving a shoulder to support the beautiful words of the Rabosenu Akadmonim, the early Rabosenu. Ulamana Yoslom as Keres Lahovin Shadaito Merchavadaito Niveres. He should put a little bit more thought into the fact that their understanding is broad and deep, whereas your understanding is limited. Ozi Kana Lavov, then he'll have Hachnas Halev, he'll be humble and contrite of heart. Lashum Piske Rishonim Larosha Teres Teferis, so the Rishonim and their words and their verdicts, their issue, their opinions should be on the top of Ateres Teferis and the higher echelons is Latachlis Sanirza Lazehine Bo Kol Divre Zos. I guess I've written the entire Igeres, this whole letter to you, for this purpose, so that you'll take the psakim, the opinions of the Rishonim, and consider them Rosh HaTeres Teferes, respect them, laud them, try hard to understand them. For Hayam Yikach Imri, and if you'll take my words, V'yitznefem Belivo, and he'll put them in your heart, La'ad L'shmeres for Olam, for all times, Oz Echtom Atzmi O'avo U'mechubado, I will certainly love you and respect you for that. So Rabosai, what we see here is a very, very dialectic and sensitive problem here. On the one hand, to have a tremendous amount of kavod, respect, admiration, and bittul in front of the Rishonim, but on the other hand, lo yisaponim, and in the language of Chaim, osli odom lekabel divrei rabo sheish lo kushus aleim. I want to conclude this year with a story. My brother Shlita, who lives in Ramot, was a student of Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, zechon of Ruch. Rabbi Aaron was one of the greats in his day, and he was in a shir which was very small, all of about 15 students in the class, and my brother was very outspoken, always asking kashas and arguing with the Rebbe about this point and that point. And one time his classmates cornered him after shir against the wall, and they said, Hananya, this is not the right way to talk to Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, who was sitting at the feet of one of the gedolim, the giants of our generation. And my brother Hananya turned white. He was very upset about it, and he thought maybe he's overstepped his bounds. Took it upon himself to wait for Rabbi the very next morning and try to approach him before the shir to ask him for mechila if he in any way was disrespectful. And Rabbi Aaron answered him, Bazel Lashon, you should know that when I come into shir, you should assume that everything I have to tell you is sheker v'chazv until I can prove to you that it's true. You assume guilty until proven innocent. And I think that Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik was quoting one of his ancestors here, the Ruach Chaim Alavis, Osolo Talmid Lekabel Divrei Rabo Kishiyesh Lo Kushus Aleim Ulefa'amim Yeh HaEmes Im HaTalmid. We have here a new insight into what the Mishnah in Ovis means when it says, Havimis Avik Bafaragleim, that Milchamta Shel Torah, the battle of Torah Yirotzah, we be Zocha, to recite Birchas HaTorah with the right kavanas, for the sake of learning Torah Lishma, Lis'atzeim Nishmosenu, to connect and to be Dovek B'Shechina, to become a Mishkan HaShechina, to be Miskadish B'Kedushas HaTorah. We should have in mind that Hashem should give us the Torah as a matana so that we don't forget it, just as He gave it as a matana to Moshe Rabbeinu, and of course, to use all our efforts and our energies to understand the Torah on the deepest level. And if we do that, Emir Seshov Bizocha to Keset Torah Kedi Ratzon, Amen.